Today is Saturday, the 13th of April, 2024, and we are gathered here for the 128th session on Mindfulness for Beginners in the English Medium, conducted by Nisaramane Forasmanasri, hosted by Penarbante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Theru, who will represent Nisaramane Forasmanasri, and continue with the session today. On behalf of all of us who have joined through Zoom and also through the Facebook live stream, I would like to welcome Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero with great respect into today's session. I would also like to welcome all of you who are joining through the Zoom session as well as through the live stream over Facebook in the Satipatthana Foundation's page. Our program will commence with an in-session practice guided by Bhante, and then we will move on to the talk on today's topic chosen, and then we will initiate the question and answer session where we present written and verbal reports or questions in that order during that session. Then we will wrap up the program, and that will be the structure of the program for today as well. So, without further ado, I would like to invite Venerable Bhante to commence with the in-session practice. Over to Bhante and much merits.
Thanks, Namanta. Hello, everyone. To start today's session, we'll take some time to practice mindful sitting. Today's guidance, I'm trying to guide you according to the topic that we are about to discuss. So we'll take some time to do a sit-in session and we'll see how we can relate this way of practicing into today's topic. So all of you, make sure that you are seated comfortably. Adjust your posture. Once you are comfortable and balanced in your posture, you can gently close your eyes. Now you are seated in a comfortable manner and you have your eyes closed. We are not going to do anything in particular. Instead, we simply try to be. Don't go after anything. Don't try to direct your attention towards anything. Instead, allow them to come to you. When you do this, you may feel a variety of things. You may feel the bodily sensations that are there, the bodily sensations that become prominent to you. Maybe some irritations in your body, some tightness, even the breathing, they could be prominent to you. Certain thoughts might come as well. Maybe your current struggles, thoughts about them might appear. Sometimes we may get certain urges. An urge to do something. Some of you might get irritated about the surrounding sounds. People are noisy in the surrounding and you may feel irritated. Among all these things, we simply try to be. You don't have to do anything, you don't have to correct anything. Instead, simply be with the process. Simply be with the flow. Okay, everyone, now you can open your eyes again. That's few minutes of mindful sitting according to the topic that we are about to discuss. So with that, Namantha, you can take over.
Thank you, Virendranthi. And next we have the talk on today's topic coming up, and I would like to invite Virendranthi again to commence with the talk on mindfulness for the chosen topic today. Over to Virendranthi again.
Okay, everyone. As you can see in the shared poster, we have a new topic today. That is something quite interesting and very much related to the practice that we are doing. Now, in the self-help area, in the self-help industry, so many books are sold. Maybe in some bookshops, there are different sections separated for self-help. And various authors, various titles are there. They are trying to help people relax. They are trying to help people find peace within them. So various methods are there, various suggestions are there. And it's a thriving industry. So much money in that industry because so many people, they are looking for a way to find a solution. They want to be comfortable. They want to be happy. They want to be calm and relaxed in their mind. But it seems like it's something that they can't achieve. So they try to find a guru, a certain book that will help them. Some of the books they may be titled with how to relax yourself, maybe something like that. How to find peace within you, something like that. So this way, various suggestions are there, various methods are there. So in these books, if you read them, if you study them, you'll find they are suggesting certain things for you to do. If you do these things, you'll be calm in your mind. If you do these things, you'll be relaxed and comfortable. So that way, so many suggestions are there. They are recommending so many things for you to do. But when it comes to the mindfulness practice, when it comes to finding true peace, happiness in you, it is not about doing, rather it's about non-doing. That's what meditation is all about. Initially, you might feel that we are giving a different set of instructions, but gradually you are moved towards non-doing. That's the goal, that's the practice. So how to relax? If you want to be calm, if you want to be comfortable in your mind, you just have to stop doing things. That's all. Doing things, if you stop them, bodily actions, then verbal actions, then mental actions, if you just stop them, if you just put them on hold, then naturally you become calm and peaceful. In your mind, you already have that calmness. In your mind, you already have that bliss. That bliss is covered because you try to do so many things. That bliss that you are born with is forgotten because you try to do so many things. So when it comes to meditation, you simply try non-doing. You simply be without doing anything. That's what we are doing. In Zen meditation, they call this Shikantaza. Shikantaza means just being. You don't have to do anything. Instead, you just be. While walking, you just be with the walking. Some people might say that while walking, we are doing something. Actually, that walking process, we don't have a destination. We are not trying to reach somewhere. Instead, you simply, the body walks and you simply be with that walking. Sitting, you simply be with the sitting. Natural involuntary processes are there, like breathing, for example, and that's an involuntary process in your body. So those processes are there. Among all these things, you simply be. So the idea of shikantaza, or just being, is it's about non-doing. You don't have to do anything, you just be. And they say you can't get it wrong. Why can't you get it wrong? If you are asked to do something, let's say bring attention to your breath, bring attention to the steps. If you are asked to do something like that, then you may get it wrong. Some people might come and say, I tried bringing my attention to the breath, but I couldn't do it. I got it wrong. I tried bringing my attention to the steps, but I couldn't do it. I got it wrong. They might come and complain. But the idea of just being, you simply be, since you are not asked to do anything in particular, they say you can't get it wrong. So that's what we do as meditation. We walk in a comfortable manner and we just be with that process. We sit in a comfortable manner. We just be with that sitting. That's all you have to do as meditation. But when you try this, for example, let's take a beginner. When they try just being with the walking, when they try just being with the sitting, they find it extremely difficult. They find it torturous. And they say, I can't meditate. This is not right for me. I feel like I'm going crazy in my mind. I feel like there are so many irritations, pains, aches in my body. So these complaints are natural from a beginner. If you are asked to explain what is happening, it is simply now you have stopped doing anything. All the previous doing, the results of the previous doing become more apparent to you. That's why so many irritations are in your body. You have been doing things for so long, for so many years on end, and as soon as you stop, you feel these irritations. You have been doing things in your mind for so long, as soon as you stop doing things, you can feel these raging thoughts in your mind. So this is not a result of the current practice that you are doing. This is not a result of the meditation that you are doing. Instead, it's a result of the earlier doing that you have been, maybe forever you have been doing it. So many bodily actions, so many verbal actions, so many mental actions, that way you have been doing things for so long. As soon as you stop it, you can feel the previous raging thoughts appear. You can feel various bodily difficulties appear. So most people think that it's a result of meditation. Due to this, I can't meditate because I feel these difficulties in my body. Due to these thoughts, emotions, I can't meditate. That's the usual complaint. But you have to clarify, it's not the current practice that you are doing. Instead, it's a result of all the previous doing in your body, mind, and those things you start to feel as soon as you stop. So the proper advice is that you have to be patient with it. Just take some time. Just continue for a few days. And when you do it, when you continue it for some time, when you continue it for a few days, you become increasingly comfortable in your walking and sitting. It just takes some time for a beginner. It just takes some time for a beginner to settle things. The bodily irritations, tightness, certain pains, aches are there. You simply have to continue with it. And within few days, you become more and more comfortable in your body. The various thoughts, emotions, feels like they're out to get you. But when you continue for a few days, you become more comfortable in your mind as well. So this way, if you just continue for a while, then you start to feel that the practice is working. The bliss is already within you. You simply have to relax. You simply have to stop for a while. And as a result, the bliss will appear. It will reappear. The forgotten bliss will appear in you. The forgotten bliss will emerge in you. You simply have to stop for a while. Just continue the practice as walking, sitting, and daily meditation. And when you do it for a few days, you realize you are increasingly comfortable in your mind. You are increasingly comfortable in your body. So that's the title. It's a quote from Osho, Enlightenment Through Laziness. Enlightenment through laziness. You don't have to do much. Instead, simply like a cat, just like in the photo, like a cat, you simply be comfortable. Just be in with your sitting and just be with your walking. You don't have to do much. That's why it says through laziness. It's about more about non-doing. It's not that difficult because you don't have to do much. You simply be, and the bliss within emerge when you continue for a while. So that's the very idea of today's session. You simply be with the walking. You simply be with the sitting. That way, if you continue your practice, within few days, you start to feel much more comfortable, much more peaceful in your body and mind. So this practice is important. This practice you can experience. Now, a certain time ago, I met somebody who was a beginner to this practice. And that person came for like 3-4 day retreat, residential retreat. And initially that person was extremely discomfortable in the practice. They felt these raging thoughts. They felt these raging bodily irritations. So naturally the person complained, saying that this is not working. I feel like my mind is going crazy. What's happening? I don't know what's happening. Mante, you have to tell me what's happening in my mind. Why is it so difficult? So that's natural. That's how you feel when you stop doing things. The earlier doing, you can feel the tiredness from that earlier doing. You can feel the difficulties from that earlier doing. You can feel the thoughts, emotions from that earlier doing. So the advice was to simply have patience. Continue. If you give up on this, then Someday you might have to find a not pleasing solution, maybe get some medication. Someday you might become ill in your body and mind. You may get certain bodily illnesses or maybe mental illness. You may get because the mind is not comfortable. So much stress, so much difficulty in one's mind. And that type of a mental state, you can only continue for so many years. You have to find a solution. You have to relax this mind. So this is a challenge that everybody is facing. How to solve this problem? How to be relaxed and comfortable in one's mind? So meditation is the way. So that person had some courage to go through this difficulty. That person had a good attitude towards the practice, although it was extremely difficult. They continued for a few days, and after a few days, they start to feel the original bliss that was inside them. They felt more and more comfortable in their mind. They felt more and more comfortable in their body. And within 3, 4 days, a huge transformation. I'm not saying the meditation is over, but at least the person, they have started their practice. They had some faith in the practice after a few days. They felt much more comfortable in their mind and body. Now, for so many months, that person is continuing and focusing on their practice because they have seen that this is working, that this is helping. So that's how most of us start. It's not given to us. It's not easy. We struggle in the beginning. We feel these difficulties in our body. We feel these difficulties in our mind. That's how it is. But when you continue for a few weeks, when you continue for a few days, then you start to feel the practice is working. It is much about non-doing rather than doing. You simply be comfortable in your walking. You simply be comfortable in your sitting. And most people think that they must bring their attention to the breathing and they must continue their attention with the breathing. They must bring their attention to the sensations at their feet and they must continue that attention. Most people think like that. But that's not how the mind works. That's not how the mind works. Instead, you can observe a few breaths, but suddenly the mind is distracted, going after various thoughts, memories. You can focus on few steps, but suddenly the mind is distracted, going after certain thoughts, memories. So that's how it works. Even yesterday, somebody came and said that they can't keep their attention with the breathing. They can't keep their attention with the walking. So my meditation is not working because I can't maintain my attention. So concentration is a different thing, but continuing with mindfulness you can do. The mindfulness, you can't get it wrong because you simply know when you are distracted, you know that you are distracted. When your attention is with the breath, you know that your attention is with the breath. That very knowing is the mindfulness that we are doing. So thoughts are too a part of this practice. You can't suppress them, you can't get rid of them. Instead, among these thoughts, you have to continue this practice. Among these thoughts, you have to be mindful. You have to develop the ability to observe your breath or the walking among these thoughts. Maybe through the thoughts, you can see the breath. Through the walking, you can see the thoughts. That way, different experiences you can have when you continue this practice. Initially, according to the book learning, one may come and say that at a single moment, my attention only goes to a single object. That's from the book learning. Usually in the book, it says like that. But the meditator, they experience sometimes I feel two mind objects simultaneously. I feel the walking and I feel the thoughts. I feel them both in the same time. So these experiences are not foreign to a practitioner. So that's how the practice works. When you feel it, when you experience it, it is something different. It is not according to the book learning that you experience. Instead, in the practice, when you experience it, it might be totally different. And it is okay. According to your current experience, you can be mindful, you can feel two objects simultaneously. According to your current observation, that's fine. We are not reaching to any conclusions. Instead, according to today's meditation, this is how it is. Maybe tomorrow you'll have a whole new experience. That too, you don't have to reach to any conclusions. According to today's or tomorrow's meditation, this is what you experience. So that way, you try to continue with your practice. The important thing is not to reach to any conclusions. Let the thoughts be. You don't have to suppress them. Among the thoughts, you can observe the walking. You can be with the walking. Among the thoughts, you can simply be with the sitting. That ability is important. That is how the wisdom will arise. Among the chaos, you have to develop the ability to be mindful. If you just stayed with the breathing, if you just stayed with the walking, then wisdom might not arise. That's the issue. Most people, they have been doing this practice for so many years, but they don't see any progress. They don't see any results because the wisdom is not there. Maybe due to the wrong instructions. Maybe due to the wrong way of practice. They don't see the progress. They don't see the results. When the wisdom is not there, they simply continue, they simply spend so many hours of meditation, but it becomes more like a pain-seeking behavior. And they prefer pain, they seek pain, and in the process, they try to inflict pain on the others as well. That's why some of the meditators, it's really difficult to deal with them. It feels like the meditation has taken the humanness out of them. You can't talk to them, you can't deal with them. They are totally out of this world. And no humanness is left because of the meditation. Why? No wisdom has arisen. That's the issue. That's why they find other people so irritating. That's why they make the others suffer. But if you know through practice, you have to understand, you have to be mindful among the chaos. You have to be mindful among these thoughts. You have to be mindful among these irritations. And when you develop that ability, when you develop that capacity, you realize that the wisdom is arising and you are not so much irritated due to these things. Your likes and dislikes will be less intense. You feel that your likes and dislikes, your preferences are reducing in intensity. So that's a good sign that the practice is working. That's a good sign that it's positive. The way is practicing among these difficulties. That's why Buddha says, I have found a way to be peaceful in these difficulties, among these difficulties. Not in some foreign world where there are no difficulties. That's not how it works. Instead, simply in this very world, among these difficulties, you have the attitude of finding peace. You have the attitude of seeing through these difficulties. You have the attitude of seeing through these thoughts. That's the very idea. That's why we say, let the thoughts be. Among these thoughts, you can feel the walking. Let the thoughts be. Among these thoughts, you can feel the breathing. That way, you have to practice. And when you do this, you realize the original bliss that was within you, it is emerging. Little by little, it is emerging. And when it is emerging, you feel much more comfortable in your mind and body. The world, it hasn't changed. It is the same old world, the busy world, the chaotic world, the crazy world, the same old world. But among these difficulties, inside you, something has changed. Inside you, you feel incremental levels of peace within. That's the very idea. Especially during these holiday periods, there's so many things to do. You have to visit certain people. You have to participate in certain functions. You have to go buy things. So many things are there. So many things to do. Much of a struggle. But the practitioner, they don't try to fight this. It's a holiday period, so you can't fight it. The family members, they are not meditators. They expect certain things from you and the family. So you have to go through these things. While going through them, you try to maintain peace within. You try to maintain the mindfulness within. When you are irritated, know that you are irritated. When you feel these raging thoughts, know that you feel them. When you are angry, know that you are angry. When you make mistakes, know that you have made a mistake. That very knowing is the practice. That very knowing, you don't have to come to a monastery to do this. At home, doing your usual things, you can do this. You can continue with it. Among these responsibilities, among these so many tasks, you can do this. That way, if you continue for a few months, then you start to see the results. That's the idea behind this practice. That's the way of the practice. And there was this nice Zen story. A student, that person came to the teacher and asked, now you are preaching about meditation. You are recommending this meditation. What is the evidence that you have? How can you prove to me that this practice works? Do you have any research articles supporting your claim? How can you prove to me that this practice works? What are the evidences that you have? So the disciple is asking from the teacher. And the teacher responded in a nice way, saying, you practice, then you'll be the evidence. You practice, then you'll be the research. Because the practitioner, they experience this. In their mind, they experience this. And when they experience, they don't need further proof. They don't need more evidence. They don't need more researchers. Instead, they are the evidence. They are the research. They are the proof. So that's a very nice way to put it. No matter what the other people say, still you are not convinced because you don't know what other people say. Whether it is true or not, you don't know. No matter what other researchers say, you still don't know. But if you practice, if you experience this in you, then for sure you know that the practice works. For sure you have the research with you. And if you write your experiences, if you collect them, let's say these reflection reports, we recommend you to maintain a journal. And if you maintain it, within few months, you can see your own transformation. When I started practice, this is how I viewed things. These are the things I complained. These are the things that bothered me. But after a few months, what is a transformation? That's there. I can feel that the way I am experiencing has changed. I can feel that the way I am irritated about things has changed. My problems, or the way I look at my problems, it has evolved. So this is how it is happening. You can see your own progress. You can be your own evidence. You can be your own research. And when you see it, when you experience it yourself, you don't need further support. You are convinced that this works. That's the very way. That's the proper way. When you experience it yourself, you don't need further proof. You know that the practice works. You have evolved into a different creature. You are not the earlier person. Although you have memory of that person, although you have memory of the things that happened, the problems, irritations, although you have memory, now you have evolved. You are not the same person and you are perceiving the world in a different way. You have evolved and you are a new creature. You are perceiving the world in a different way. So that change is possible and you can experience your own change. And when you experience it, you don't need further evidence. You don't need further research supporting it. So this is the idea for today. Enlightenment through laziness. You don't have to do much. Instead, simply be with the walking, be with the sitting. Simply be with your daily activities, and when you do this, the peace or the bliss that's inside you, it will emerge. the original bliss that you had, it will emerge. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Banti, for a very providing us with a very deep understanding of just being and observing what's happening without being disturbed by what is happening. Much thanks to Banti for that in-depth explanation. Next, we will move on to the question and answer session as the next step of our session today. I would like to invite Nadeep to go through the beginner's introduction slide and then go ahead with presenting today's written and verbal questions and raw reports to Banti. I will share the screen for the beginner's introduction. Over to Nadeep.
Thanks, Namante. Much merits. Avasarai Bhante. We have received one report today. As usual, just before presenting the report, let me share you the basic instruction for beginners who are aspiring to work on the path of mindfulness. There's two videos, introductory videos, created with the assistance of Venerable from Nisaranamane, one for mindful walking and the other one for mindful sitting. Those who are aspiring, it is advised to give a good watch of those two videos and grasp the basic instructions in regards to mindful walking and mindful sitting. Once you get the basic idea, the most important thing is to start your practice. So start with maybe 5 minutes per day in a dedicated time during the day, either early morning or just before retire of the day. Start with 5 minutes and increase your practice like 10 minutes, 15 minutes. So it is also advised to start with your mindful walking because it is conducive to subsequent mindful sitting. Once you start your practice, continue it for about a week until you complete 2 hours of practice. Once you reach to that point, it is also advised to send us your experiences in terms of a report. So it is also important to share your experiences as you progress. And also you can get the advice from Bhante during the program as well. So how do you write a report? First, clearly mention your primary object of the mindfulness. In regards to mindful sitting, it may be the breath or rising and falling of your tummy. In regards to your mindful walking, it would be how you feel the touch point of your foot and so on. So clearly mention those primary object and how it change and also how long you are being mindful of your breath, in breath, out breath, whether it's disappear. And also in the same time, if you have any resentment, distraction, or aversion towards any thoughts, any distraction, clearly mention those points as well. Because it is not just the pay attention to your breath, it is how the mind wandering away and also how the mind get back to your primary object. Clearly mention those things, how it happens, and then how long you were with the primary object. Say, straight, 5 in-breath, 5 out-breath, you are mindful and then your mind wandered away and then you all of a sudden become aware of, again, the primary object. And during your mindful walking, you pay attention to your shifting of the weight of left to right and the rising and, lifting and falling of your foot. And also distraction from the outside as well. Mention all those things and send the report to us through the Google form or the email mentioned here. And also, again, as Bhante mentioned during the talk today, it is important to continue a practice regardless of what are the circumstances are. Participate the program continuously and share your experience. It is also helpful to all the participants and your own practice as well. During the program, Namantha will share all those instructions again and will put into the chat section. Okay, now let me move on to the presenting the reports, Bhante. We have one report already received today. Let me read it out first. Mindful sitting. Attention naturally was on process of breathing. On reflection, there was peace in mind and comfort in body for most of the sitting period. Wanting this experience to continue did cross the mind, although it soon passed away. Unaware if sounds were in the background, as the peacefulness felt like being in a deep cave. Subtle breath broke up, but knew the body was seated and alive. Sat for an hour, although it did not feel like the session lasted an hour. Mindfulness during the day. Not seeing the transition from previously natural unawareness of mind to the now being naturally aware of things. It was not an overnight happening, but now this is because of regular practice of mindfulness, both formal and while in daily life. Noted that the first report sent within Mindfulness for Beginners program was 25 months ago, and that initial attending of the program was a few months longer. A dear Dhamma friend mentioned this program and joined it out of curiosity. Within a brief period, the mind was encouraged to write a reflective report, and over two years later, it is continuing. This brings a genuine feeling of peace and the knowledge that while starting something can be difficult, having started and persevered, it has gathered momentum. Writing the report has now become a habit, just like practicing both formally and informally. Feedback from Venerable Bhante has been illuminating and encouraging. Was able to make use of this feedback, sometimes immediately and at other times in an ongoing manner. During several recent events, the mind took part in worldly process as the observer. Responding to things and people with awareness, it becoming easier. Of course, the reactions still take place, but the mind seemed to recover from the reactions quicker than before. And there is less storytelling or judgments about reactions now. Dhamma friends' feedback confirmed this transition in the mind, as well as feedback from some family members. It brings a calmly happy feeling without being overexcited. When attending these sessions at the beginning and finding it useful and practical, there was a keen interest in trying to get as many people as possible to attend. Knew it does not work like that. From a wide variety of experiences before, but tried it anyway. A couple of people joined and stayed on. There used to be sadness or annoyance about the others who ignored the request to join. Now, however, it is easier to let others be and guard the peace in mind and to save the energy for important things. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback and much merit to you and the organizers. Teruan Sarnai. That's the end of the report, Dante.
Okay, thank you for submitting that reflection report. Now, that report, it's more like, you know, supporting the talk that we had today. In there also I mentioned that you can see your own progress. Now, in this report, that was the experience. It's been 25 months since the very first report. And now you know your experience, you know how you have evolved. Initially, it was total darkness. You didn't know what you were doing. You didn't know the practice works. You didn't know whether your meditation is correct. You didn't know whether the advice is correct. Among all these, this darkness, you have started. But after two years, you feel now you have much more confidence in your own practice. Now you know the practice works. Now you have evidence. You have become the evidence. You are the research. Right? So that's the way. That's the way. Most people, they try to find a quick fix, band-aid. They want a pill kind of a solution. When I take this, I'll be all right. That's not how it works. Instead, we are talking about, you know, changing the mind, evolving the mind. It takes time. It takes effort. So that's why you have to simply continue. Don't take it as a huge burden. But instead, as a habit, you submit a report. As a habit, you do your walking and sitting practice. There's no real hurry. That way you continue. Most people, they can start things, but they don't have the energy that takes to continue. For most people, it's difficult. They give up easily. So nothing is achieved. Nothing is achieved because they have given up. But if you have that quality to continue, if you have the fortitude that is required, then you will see results. After a few months, after a few years, you can see your own experience, how it has evolved. Now you are a totally new person. You have evolved from your previous self. Now you know that the practice works. So that's how we can confirm. That's how we know that the practice is correct, right? So it takes time, it takes effort. If you have that fortitude, then you can do it. Most people, they don't have it. Especially when we try to get other people involved, when you try to teach others, you have to learn this lesson. Otherwise, you get irritated because people, they are not joining, they are not listening, they are not interested. Right? So you get frustrated, you get irritated. It is natural. But you have to find a proper balance. You know that this is helping, but maybe the person, he is not ready to accept. He's not ready to accept. Right? So we have to wait till the proper moment. You have to go easy on them and simply be. Right? When the proper moment comes, you have to use that moment. You have to give them the message or the lesson. If you have that patience, then of course eventually they'll realize. Eventually they'll realize. If you are in a hurry, then you will ruin it forever. If you are not totally interested, then you won't do any good for them. Right? So you have to find the proper balance. Proper balance should be there. You are not in a hurry. You don't try to force them into this. That's the easiest way to get them frustrated in the practice. You don't try to force them into it. but you have not given up on them. That balance should be there. If you know your practice, if you are mindful, then you will know what is the best moment to give them the message. You will know when people are ready to accept. You have to pick that moment. Before, not after. If you try to force feed this, then you are creating difficulty for yourself as well as for them. If you have totally given up on them, then that's also not good. So you have to find the proper balance. With time only, you can find it. In my life, I have found that if I try to force feed it, then people won't accept. That's the easiest way to, you know, ruin it for them. If you are totally given up on them, then that's too also not good. You have to find that proper balance. One example comes to my mind, one recent example. That person has been dealing with these Satipasal programs for children for so many years. That person has been dealing with us, participated in the program, did the walk and sitting practices along with the children. But for years, I knew that the person is not aware of the practice. The person has not understood the practice. For years, I knew, right? But I couldn't put pause because that person wasn't ready. Somehow they continued with the program. Few times came and visited. So that way, only after a few years, there was this sudden opportunity. And somehow, I can't say that I did it because it was adjusted according to the surrounding things. Everything supported, even the nature supported. And in that moment, in that opportunity, somehow we were able to, you know, give the message. And afterwards, within few months, a totally new person, totally different. Even talking, you can feel a much greater connection. Earlier, it was like talking to a stranger. Now it was like, it's like talking to a family member. Within 3-4 months, can it happen? This type of change, can it happen? But it has happened. You have to pick the moment. If you are in a hurry, then you'll ruin it for them. If you have given up on them, then that's also not good. You have to pace yourself. You wait patiently. And when the opportunity is there, you have to hit the target. You have to hit the bullseye. That's the way. Even the elephants fall, right? I felt like, you know, shooting an elephant and, you know, killing it. That type of a achievement, because after waiting for so many years, we got that opportunity. Right now, without trouble, even we can ask that person to guide the children through a walking sitting session. Now they know what they are doing. They know what is the practice. So after waiting like 2 years, got the opportunity. And I wasn't really waiting for the opportunity. That's another theme. If I was waiting for the opportunity, then it might not last this long, right? So you have to let them be. When the time is right, you have to act. That is the way, that balance if you find, then eventually whoever the friends or the family members that will continue with you, they will realize. Other people, they will go away. They will create some distance because they are not ready. Maybe it'll take few more eons for them to realize that message. Right? So that's how it is. So with your practice, focus on your practice, continue with it, and you will get the opportunity.
Thanks and much merit, Bhante, for the valuable advice on that. That's all the reports we have received today, Bhante. Is it okay if we open the participant for verbal questions, Bhante?
Yeah, we have some time, no? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So, dear participant, please make use of this time, valuable time. If you have any questions, please raise your Zoom hand and I will unmute you to talk. Avsaray Bhante, I have a, it's not a question, actually something triggered in my mind while reading the report as well, because when I, in the hindsight, looking back my past, and the person I am right now has been changed, but I didn't notice, you know, sometimes that change. But sometimes, especially my, I am the angriest person in my family. Some of my sister's friends very scared to come and see her while I am at home. Recently, I spoke to some of them, and they actually told my sister, "Hey, my sister name is Sangeeta. Hey, Sangeeta, what happened to your brother? You know, he's so calm. You know, his language is very different. You know, even I didn't want to, you know, someone, you know, scratching my back. You know, I didn't notice that, Bhante. But, you know, people actually notice that change when we practice for a longer time. But we didn't notice, or we didn't think of that change, or we didn't expect that change to happen. But it automatically happened. It's very kind of a feeling very fulfilled, you know, when people talking about it, because we have changed. We are very, you know, calmer, more responsible, and, you know, listen to the other people, not very reactive. Then all those, you know, changes happen. And I'm so happy to hear that. But I didn't get overwhelmed by, you know, what they are saying. Just want to share with you, Bhante. Thank you very much.
Maybe because of the old age, you never know. Yeah. By
maybe
that time,
right.
you were young and energetic, and now has grown old. Maybe that's that could be a reason, right? Even very when people grow old, this change happens, right? There was this funny story. Somebody was telling that you know, this person is so calm and, you know, like a meditator now. Earlier he was like this, and the other person was saying he's having trouble with his, you know, joints. He can't move them. That's why he appears so calm. Right, because of the old age, right? Because no energy to move around, and they appear like that. But in their mind, they have the same struggle, right? But when it comes to our case, it's more like, you know, the meditation. We have evolved in the process, and even the others, they can be evidence, right? They can give evidence to that. They can see that change. That's important. That's important, because otherwise they will get sick of meditation seeing you. That happens to some people, because they are doing something wrong, and because of the meditation, they become more and more irritated. Even in my talk, I mentioned that they take the humanness out of them for the sake of the practice, and they start blaming others. They start finger pointing towards others because they have taken the humanness out of them, right? But the true practice should be you should be more and more human. You should be more and more, you know, simple. You should be more and more pleasant. That's the real change. That's the real change. Otherwise, it's like that funny story. The mother goes to the temple and do, you know, metta meditation, compassion. And even in returning home, starts shouting at everybody on the doorstep, right? Because the morning time, compassion; evening time, anger. The scale is balanced, Right. So the people at home, they realize the meditation is not working. They might not be vocal about it, but still they know that the mother practiced compassion meditation, loving kindness in the morning, and in the afternoon, in the evening, anger. Anger at home, right? So that's how it works. It has become a joke to most of the people, because the meditators, they don't see any evidence. They don't see any evidence that the practice works. But if the practice works, we can feel, even the family members can feel, even the strangers, they can feel. So these people, they were more like strangers. They are not regular encounters to you. So after seeing you for so many years, they realize that this person has changed. This person has evolved, right? Even your sisters, your family members, they too can feel it. That's important. That's important. That will create faith in the practice, even for your family members. That will create faith in the practice, even for the friends. That's what we call the silent sermon. You don't have to be so vocal about it. Instead, you do your practice, and as a result, everybody will know. Even the animals, they will feel it. Right? Even the animals can feel it. It's called a silent sermon. Most people, they focus being so vocal about it, but their behavior doesn't prove. Their behavior doesn't bring any evidence about that the practice works. Right? So this is the way. When you evolve, when you change, and your family members will realize the meditation works. When you change, your friends will realize the meditation works. That's how you have to do the silent sermon. And another thing is there, it's happening over a time period, right? It's not happening overnight. So that's why you don't realize it that much. You don't realize the impact of it that much. Sometimes you feel like, am I the same person? Has I evolved? Like that you feel. Because it takes time. Over a long period, the change is happening. So only when you reflect, you may realize there's some change. The change is so gradual, so steady. That's why we don't feel the impact of it. We don't feel the real weight of it. But when we reflect our earlier situations, we feel that weight. We feel that impact. So you have to go back in time and maybe visit your older self. And then you might realize what is the impact of the meditation. What is the weight of the meditation? So that's the idea. So maybe go back in time and visit your previous younger self.
Yes, sir. That's always, you know, aggressive childhood, you know, mischievous, so everything coming to my mind. We have a couple of more minutes. If anyone has got any questions or share your experiences or anything. Navanta?
Thank you. Thank you, Nadeep.
Yeah, thanks.
Bandi, my observation is the more I am going into mindfulness practice day in, day out, I am feeling more and more of the emptiness factor or the void factor keeps increasing compared to what I consider as material or what I consider as directly felt. Now, even in this program, we have about 9 participants in total, but I am conscious of the fact that there are about 8 billion people in the world, and I think 9 of us are representing almost a billion people by being only 9 persons in this program. So this program is 9 people full and 9 billion empty in that way, or 8 billion empty. So the emptiness factor is felt more when I think of the progress. Now, even if I see my physical self, like the empty space is felt much more than earlier. So I think this is traveling more towards emptiness the more we do this, like even life and death factors, like life and death are becoming like smaller compared to the emptiness. So I think even deep concepts are becoming smaller compared to the emptiness, which is massive when you keep doing this. That's my observation, and it makes the person doing it a lot calmer, because why would you bother if you are against such a massive emptiness? Why would you bother with smaller things? Like there's something bigger now when you start practicing. So that's my observation on mindfulness today.
Yeah, that's a valid observation. Now, initially, before you start meditation, your mind is fixated on the material things, right? So that's how it is, and we consider them as our whole world, right? And according to that attachment, the suffering arises. But the meditator, they start with material things. They start with their breath. That's something like materials, something that you can feel, a physical sensation. But gradually, the attention moved into the unknown or the emptiness, right? So they start to see the scale of emptiness compared to the material things. The scale they start to see, the true scale. Even the science, they started with material things. Now they are talking about dark energy, dark matter, all those things. And now they are saying that whatever it is more than 99%, 99, in like 12 nines empty. Right? It appears solid, but when you analyze it, it's 99% empty, right? So earlier, our mind was fixated on that 1%. And the meditation, it evolves and it allows us to see the remaining 99%. Earlier, you start with Newton or the material things. Gradually, the science evolves and it allows us to see the quantum. That evolution is important, and then you start to see the real reality. And people, it's easier for them to, you know, feel that they are not the center of this universe, of this gigantic universe. They are not the center. If they feel like it, it's only in their torturous minds. They feel like they are the center of this entire universe in their own torturous minds. But in reality, we are like a sand particle in this universe. That's the real reality. And further away you look into the universe, more and more galaxies appear. Further away you look, more and more distance appear. Right? So that's how it is. Earlier, we thought that it is rotating around me. I am the center. That's our own torturous mind. But when we see the scales, life and death, as you clearly mentioned, life and death, their significance reduces. Right? Even you are breathing, you are alive. But maybe we are going through the death. In our meditation, it's like die before you die. That's the motto of meditation. It's actually prepping yourself for the impending death. Prepping ourselves for the impending death and die before die. Right? If you die before death, then there's nothing to worry about. That's what's happening. Recover your mind from these material things and see the entire picture, see the big picture. And when you see it, that grip, it releases. That struggle, it goes away. That attachment, it disappears. And every moment we die. Every moment we are born again. With every object we die, With every object, we are born again. So that's how it is. That's how it is. We are not so much concerned about the material things. And we feel the vast emptiness. That is important. And when you start to see that, due to that perspective, your attitude changes. Your attitude changes. So compared to 8 people, 8 billion empty. Right? That's how it is. That's how it is. And that scale is valid. And that's how the world is. Right? And only a little portion will realize this. That's the other irony behind it. Right? 8 billion people, they won't go after this. They will prefer the material world. While like 8 people are interested in the vast emptiness. Okay, so those proportions work. The materiality, it is like 8 people compared to the 8 billion emptiness. Practice also 8 people compared to 8 billion worldly. Right, so that's how it is. That's how it is. And when you do this, when you go through this process, you realize the grip is reducing. You die before you die. And when you face that conceptual death, there's nothing to worry about, right? So that change we all have to do in this lifetime, because we are all of us, there's this impending death we have to go through. So the practice is more like prepping yourself, dying before death. Make sure that you are not suffering, you are not struggling. So that's a nice analogy. Namantha.
Thank you very much, Banti, and much nice, Banti. Very nice reply. Thank you so much. Deep.
Yeah, thank you very much, Bhante. I think we have come to the conclusion of our program today. We just passed over the time. I would like to hand over to Namantha just to wrap it up today's program. Much merit, Bhante. Thank you very much, Namantha.
Thank you very much, Nadeep, and much thanks to you, and also much thanks to Bhante, and thank you for a very committed approach to providing us with a lot of deep concept and ideas about how mindfulness will go on when we keep practicing, how we will experience and feel this process when we keep applying, because everything depends on how you apply, and Bhante's insight is focusing on what we experience when we apply, thereby encouraging us to further progress on this path, which is vital for us to continue with a lot of enthusiasm and energy. So I would like to move on to closing the program by associating all the merits generated and created in today's session to Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhammakusala Theru, who has joined the session today, dedicating Bhante's own time. And we wish Bhante a lot of wisdom and fruitful progress in the path of mindfulness and the achievement of Bhante's objectives with the power of these superb merits gained in today's session as well. We wish Venerable Bhante long life and great health into the future. Furthermore, we would like to mention the chief abbot of the Nisvaranavane Forest Monastery, Most Venerable Bhante Udari Regama Dhammajiva Mahatheru, who has requested this program to be initiated and delivered continuously in this manner. We wish these merits to be associated with the chief Bhante and wish him long life and great health and also fruitful progress in the path of mindfulness with the power of these associated merits. We also wish our dear team of organizers who are putting in a lot of hard work in a lot of aspects of this program. We wish that these medals be associated with all of these wonderful people, and that their own progresses in the path of mindfulness happen, and that they reap many benefits, and that we also wish them great health and long life as a result or fruit of these powerful merits. Furthermore, I would like to thank all of you who have joined today's session. These days being festive season days in Sri Lankan culture, we appreciate your presence in today's program, and your and being encouraged to participate in today's program despite the a lot of prominence on the festive activities these days. I would like to associate all the merits gained in today's session to all of you who joined through the Zoom session and possibly through the live stream or Facebook as well, and wish that these merits will have a powerful impact, positive impact on your own effort and progress in path of mindfulness. And we also wish you great health and long life into the future. The session will run next Saturday, same time, and we will like to see all of you joining. And I would like to wish all of you a happy and mindful week ahead, and keep practicing the concepts learned and applying them so that you progress in this path. I would end the Zoom session now. Furthermore, have a nice and happy festive season this time, and wish you all a happy new year and a mindful happy new year ahead in the Sri Lankan Sinhalese calendar. We will see you next week. Until then, have a mindful week ahead. Thank you. I will end the Zoom session now.